Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk about.
Who are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Y, Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, Budweiser, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bobby Dalbec in his major league debut in the batter's box, backing up near the wall. He can't find it. And that ball is gone. That is a home run. Eaton completely lost it. And Bobby Dalbec has homered to right field in his major league debut. That one torn into. That's hit wickedly to the wall. Bobby Dalbec with his second major league home run. That was a laser beam. High fly, well hit, backing up Fisher. It gets out of here. An opposite field home run by Bobby Dalbec, his third. And the Red Sox add another. Now on top, 4-1. High fly ball, left field deep, turning McCutcheon. And kiss that one goodbye. So Bobby Dalbec with number four. It's going to roll around on the concourse out there. And the Red Sox have tied it. Bobby Dalbec has struck again. This one is way back. It is gone.
This kid's got big league power, to say the least. Five home runs already on the year.
I agree, Eck. I agree. Bobby Dalbec has big league power. No question about it. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll open up the phone lines right away. Here's where I want to begin tonight. I want to begin with Bobby Dalbec. Okay, I want to begin with Bobby Dalbec, who I am conflicted about. And I use the word conflicted quite seriously. Hard to not like what Dalbec has done so far in his early stint with the Red Sox.
Yeah, Bobby bombs.
Okay, Bobby Dalbec has five home runs. I'm trying to get his complete stat line here in front of me, Murray, so forgive me. Bobby Dalbec, so far, nine games, five homers, eight ribbies, has an OPS of 1,033. Again, nine games, five homers, eight RBI, an OPS of 1,033. Bobby Dalbec. And has homered now in four straight games. Homers in five of his first nine games. They told you five home runs in nine games. And how about this? Only the second player in Red Sox history to start his career with five home runs in the first nine games. Only the second player in Red Sox history. Quick, Murray, who's the first?
Say again.
Okay, Jimmy Stewart, who was the first? Any idea? Which Red Sox player?
Sam Horn.
Sam Horn is correct. Very good, Jimmy. I was expecting you to get it wrong. I was kind of hoping you would get it wrong.
Sorry.
In all honesty.
It's baseball.
So here's the point. Sam Horn didn't exactly have a long, productive career with the Red Sox. He was here for a little while, and by the way, wonderful guy.
Got a website out of it, though.
Tremendous guy. Yeah, Sons of Sam Horn. That's right, Jimmy. Exactly right. But here's what I would tell you. And I ask you this if you're a follower of the Red Sox, in all seriousness, and I recognize that you have not had a lot to celebrate this early season. You haven't. So you'll cling on to anything, and Bobby Dalbec is worth clinging on to. I think Bobby Dalbec probably has a place in the big leagues, long term. I need to see more, but let's say that he is what he is now, and I'm not saying five homers every nine games, but let's say he's a guy that hits 250, but can hit for power. Is there room in the big leagues for that? Of course. Yes. Is he a superstar? No. Does he have legit power? Yes. He had two home runs in the doubleheader in Philadelphia the other day. One was a breaking ball that he smashed to left field. The other one was an absolute bomb, listen closely, to right center field. That to me was an indication of how real his power is. He drove it out to the opposite field. See, I'm trying to be consistent here because I used to criticize Mookie Betts for this. And I would say Mookie Betts, one thing he doesn't do is drive the ball out to the opposite field. Mike Trout can do it. The real power hitters can do it. Mookie couldn't. At least he couldn't before he got to L.A. So Dalbec's power is real. Here's what I would ask you, though, if you're a baseball fan. Do you like what Bobby Dalbec represents? Because I can't stand it. I can't stand what Bobby Dalbec represents. Bobby Dalbec is everything that is wrong with the game. I wrote this for our website today. You should hate Bobby Dalbec if you like baseball.
I love it.
You should. You should hate Bobby Dalbec. If you like baseball, you should hate this guy. Bobby Dalbec represents everything that is wrong with the game today. Everything. Everything that's wrong with baseball, Bobby Dalbec should be the poster boy for it.
Let's strike out Walker home run, right?
Bobby Dalbec has 8 hits this year, 5 home runs. The other 3 are singles. He has struck out 16 times.
Ugh.
He has struck out. Listen to this. I looked this up today, and he's only had 35 plate appearances. But I did this based on 30 plate appearances or 30 at-bats. I can't remember which. There are 427 players in the big leagues this year who have had that many at-bats. Okay? 427 that have had at least 30 at-bats. There are only 2 who strike out at a faster rate than Bobby Dalbec, who has struck out in 46%, more than 46% of all of his plate appearances this year. How do you like a guy like that? I've never liked players like that unless they give me something else. So I played this game with Murray earlier, but I'm going to do it again. Murray, if I said to you, who's Gorman Thomas, what would you say?
I don't know.
No clue. Jimmy Stewart, do you know who Gorman Thomas was?
Was he a first baseman outfielder for the Brewers?
Okay, he was. You know what? I'm not sure if he ever played first base, but he played center field for the Brewers. Murray, if I said to you, Rob Deere, how about Rob Deere?
Yeah, I know exactly who Rob Deere is.
How do you know Rob Deere and you don't know Gorman Thomas?
I don't know. Is Gorman Thomas before my time? Like, Rob Deere's like Dave Kingman. It was a home run or a strikeout. That's all that guy was. I used to refer to myself as the Rob Deere of women in the 90s and 2000s. It was a lot of strikeouts, but occasionally the kid here got a home run.
Okay, so that's the real reason you know who Rob Deere is. It had nothing to do with the baseball.
Rob Deere had a rifle for an arm, by the way.
Rob Deere was a pretty good outfielder. He was your classic lumberjack in the batter's box. Talk about a guy who used to swing from his ass, but you know what else he could do? For a guy his size, he actually ran pretty well, and he was a pretty good outfielder. Gorman Thomas played center field for the Brewers.
When was his time? Because I know 80s, 90s baseball. When the hell did he play?
Gorman Thomas played in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s with the Brewers.
That's why.
Okay, so if you were to look up at him, and there are people who are my age who know who these guys were, but the younger baseball fans have no clue. Here's what I'm telling you. On the teams back then, there was a place for those guys. Rob Deere was a number 6 hitter. Gorman Thomas was something similar, maybe even 7th. They were parts of good teams because they could hit for power and they provided good defense, gave you some other things. What does Bobby Dalbec give you exactly other than power? Can someone tell? And I'm not telling you power is insignificant. I'm just telling you that he's not exactly a centerpiece prospect because the Red Sox don't really have any. And so Bobby Dalbec, fine, is a nice story right now. He strikes out like crazy. He's a softball player. He's indicative of everything the game has become. So, again, I get it. If you're a Red Sox fan, you want to celebrate this guy with good reason. You haven't had a lot to celebrate. I'm just telling you, he's a reflection of what the game now is, Bobby Dalbec is, and he's really not all that good. He's really not a baseball player. He's a softball player, which if you listen to this show, you know that I've been railing about for a long time. Let me read you a couple of the replies I got today on my, because I wrote this very thing for our website, which Matt Doloff, who, or is it Doloff? I always get it wrong.
Doloff.
Matt Doloff was walking through and he says, oh boy, Red Sox fans are pissed at you today for the Bobby Dalbec story. I said, it's just an opinion. It happens to be also the right one. But I told you, Dalbec to me is, you know, kind of a softball player. So once I put these same thoughts online, some of the replies, Jimmy, we could use a little music, maybe get some This Week in Baseball, anything like that, something we can sort of lay under these golden pipes of mine. Here we go. Maybe just a little softer. Maz, you complain about someone like Mookie Betts, who does everything but hit opposite field home runs. Whatever fits your agenda that day, Squeaky Maz. True. Yeah, true. It's all about what we talk about that day. Absolutely. Maz, worst record in baseball, and Tony chooses to attack one of the few bright spots in a miserable year. Never change, Tony. Never change. I won't. Harry writes, you have been representing what's wrong with sports media most of your career. Again, true. Or at least later in my career. Adam Hussey writes, what's your problem? Sean writes, pathetic article. JG writes, is everything okay upstairs for you? I really am a fan, but some of your takes have been just so, so bad.
Oh, you're just trying to tell these people that it's likely going to be fleeting with Bobby Dalbec. That's all.
PM writes, Maz Shaughnessy at his best. That's cold.
Oh.
That's cold to call me Shaughnessy. That is absolutely cold. Mark writes, maybe your next piece could be on a time when writers would actually spell check their articles.
Was there a screw up in there?
There were a couple, actually. Yeah, I fixed them. Online articles now look like they're edited by junior high remote learners. So I will say this about the typos. It was legit. Oh. He's right.
Okay.
But I would say that's the editor's job. So I'm putting that one on the editorial staff, although in this case, that one's me. Some guy, Marchand Elite, writes, this guy is playing well and he's bad for baseball. Come on. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Wow, bashing rookies already, Maz. Jimmy, we can die down the music. I would tell you what, Dahlbeck, look, in all honesty, I'm a fan of the sport. I like the way the sport used to be played. I like multiple elements in the game. You know why home runs were exciting for a long period of time? Because there weren't that many guys that could hit them, at least not consistently. So the power hitters always warranted our attention because they were relatively rare. And so it was hard to find guys that could hit well and hit for power. Now they want everybody to hit for power. Every single guy. So a guy like Bobby Dahlbeck comes up and hits 5 home runs in his first 9 games, and all of a sudden everybody thinks they've discovered Babe Ruth. Do you remember what Michael Chavis looked like last year when he first came up? He was lights out. He was lights out. In his last 95 games, Chavis is striking out in 40% of his at-bats.
I mean, you don't say the same kind of thing about Alex Verdugo for people that are thinking, like, you're just getting on a young player too early. I know Verdugo's not a rookie, but you know, that kid can actually hit, it looks like. It's not just power and strikeouts.
So this is my point, Murray. I like Verdugo.
Yeah.
Verdugo sprays the ball around the ballpark. Verdugo has power, but he's not just a guy who's going up there swinging from his ass, trying to hit it 500 feet.
You don't want softball players. And neither do I. Look, you want to bring me back, like, get rid of that. Please just put the ball in play. That's all I'm asking for.
I mean, the game needs it. The game needs it. If the game becomes Bobby Dahlbeck's, this is my point. And again, he might help the Red Sox in the long run. Maybe he becomes a number 6 hitter. I don't know. If he can hit 250 and hit 30 homers, then he's a big leaguer. I question whether he can hit 250. And I question whether he's going to put the ball in play enough to be able to play every day in the big leagues. Someone compared him to me to Chavis and said they're very similar guys. So if he's Chavis, how good is that really? Because I don't love Chavis's game either. But if you like the sport, this is not a guy to get excited about. I mean, the home runs are fun for now, and you should take anything you get. But this is not a guy to get overly excited about. Believe me when I tell you that. I want to get to your phones. John's in Dorchester. He's already on the line. We'll get to him, 617-779-0985. And the Red Sox open up tonight a series with the best team in the American League, which might be a little look at what your future is as a member of the Red Sox. We'll tell you who that is and why when we come back.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is a show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
But I think big picture, look, we always want to compete and win every time we take the field. But we're trying to do this a lot. We're trying to do it so that we can sustain it, so that we can compete for championships every year for a long time. And anything that builds toward that goal is something that we have to consider regardless of what our record is right now.
That's the chief baseball officer of the Red Sox, Chaim Bloom. Not so long ago, right around the trading deadline, talking about the kinds of moves the Red Sox will have to make here going forward. Bloom, obviously, out of the Tampa Bay Rays organization, now running the Red Sox baseball operation. And we play that for you because the Red Sox tonight are playing the Tampa Bay Rays. So let me ask you all this quickly. Who has the best record in the American League? Jim Murray.
Tampa.
Jimmy Stewart.
Tampa Bay.
Who's second?
Chicago?
Close, Murray. Very good. Third. They're third. Second is the Oakland A's. Another team that finds diamonds in the rough, produces talent, does it on a low payroll. So the two best teams in the American League right now are Tampa and Oakland. Chaim Bloom, obviously a product of the Tampa Bay Rays operation, is now running the Red Sox. I have a question as it pertains to Bloom and the whole approach that Tampa has, that Oakland has, in building winning teams. And I want Red Sox fans to seriously consider it when we get to it. But first, I do want to take a call. John's been waiting on the phone. He's in Dorchester. What do you got, John?
Hey, Maz. Hey, I'm a huge Yankee fan, and this season has, like, pissed me off.
Good reason.
Like, Gary Sanchez, I would trade him for a bag of freaking rocks. Gleyber Torres is not doing what he's supposed to do. And the two babies, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, when are they going to be healthy? I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so look, I can't give any answers, and you want me to give you an honest answer. I'll tell you, the better story is if they miss it. If they miss the playoffs, that's a way better story. Way better story. Now, look, the Dodgers and the Yankees, almost consensus picks to be in the World Series this year. The Dodgers, 32-12. They are loaded. The Dodgers are an absolute wagon. The Yankees, 22-21. Clinging to a playoff spot right now. And I'm going to check this quickly. But Tampa and Toronto are in. Chicago and Cleveland are in. Oakland and Houston are in. The number 7 seed right now in the American League is Minnesota. The Yankees are 8. And they're holding on to that last spot by their fingertips. Be a great story if the Yankees miss the playoffs. Now that, if you're a Red Sox fan, that is something to celebrate. But back to the Rays. Tampa Bay's right now have the best record in the American League. If you are a Red Sox fan, that should be a cause for optimism. And I say should be because you probably know where I'm going with this. For me, it isn't necessarily a cause for optimism. Here's what I would tell you. If the Red Sox can do what the Tampa Bay Rays have done and rebuild their player development operation, their farm system, and start to produce players and produce pitching, they'll be good again. Tampa Bay's good. Tampa Bay won like 96 games last year. Here's the problem with being the Tampa Bay Rays. And when Chaim Bloom, in the cut that we just played for you, Chaim Bloom sits there and says, well, we want to be able to contend year in and year out. I want to be able to win some. Tampa Bay's never won a World Series. In fact, Oakland has won one playoff series under Billy Beane. And that was relatively recently. They hadn't even won a playoff series. So these teams with the, let's just call it, an analytic approach or a money ball approach that are competitive year in and year out and contend, they don't actually win. Now, you would say, well, the Red Sox have something that those teams don't. They have money. And they'll spend their money and go out and get those players. And my question is, are you sure? Who are they going to spend the money on? And how many of those got? Because it feels like the Red Sox are trying to avoid those types of crazy contracts. And they got a good deal on Bogarts, but Betts is gone. They signed David Price, but I think we all feel like that was a mistake now. So here's what I want to ask. Are you sure you want to be the Tampa Bay Rays? Can that work here? And that's really the bigger question. Can that work here? So let me ask you, Murray. Let me ask you, Jimmy Stewart. And I want to ask our listeners. Can the Tampa Bay model, the Oakland model, can it work in Boston?
Yeah, why wouldn't it be able to? Because of lack of star power?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I
get... Quick, just stop.
Because as long as people win, I think, as long as the team wins, I don't know if it really matters.
Really?
Yeah.
You sure?
Because winning, I think, is the only thing that truly matters. If this team won with a bunch of people you couldn't even name, who's on that team? Kevin Kiermaier, Austin Meadows, that's about it. The only Rays I can name.
So this is what I'm going to ask you. Name me 5 Rays.
Oh, I couldn't name 5.
Name me 5 Oakland A's.
Chris Davis, the other one.
Yep. K-H-R-I-S.
Yeah. The kid with the cannon in center field.
Oh, yeah. Laureano.
Thank you.
The third baseman
who can
Sean
hit.
Sean Manaea no-hit you.
Sean Manaea, left-hander pitcher. Is he still with them?
Yeah, he no-hit you.
Okay, yeah, that's about it. I needed help there.
But you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
So this is what happens in these smaller markets. You get these guys who don't have big name recognition. They're not superstars. Say what you want. Look, we're not New York. We're not L.A. We're not Chicago. I mean, in terms of the city size and that sort of intensity. But in terms of baseball, it's a big market where people care and they want stars. When's the last time the Red Sox didn't have a superstar or something close to it? Like star players.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, look, this city has propped up guys that are hacks. Trot Nixon, What's his name? Brian Daubach, guys like that, you know, that we made that would be nobodies in any other town. But then again, those teams were also loaded with stars at the time. So I don't know. I think winning is ultimately is the only thing that matters. So even though it would be an odd model and it would be, you know, guys that aren't household names, winning is what matters.
So I think that to a degree that is true, Murray, to a degree. But I'll tell you what, I go back to like, and I'm trying to remember what year it was, 2010, 2011, one of those years in there where Daniel Nava was on the Red Sox and they were a good story because not a lot of people were expecting much and the Red Sox were winning and fans weren't interested. And you know why they weren't interested? Because they didn't believe in the talent. Because there wasn't superstar there. In baseball, to win in the postseason, I think you need the superstars. You need the big-name pitchers. You need the great hitters in the middle of your lineup. And so let's look at the Red Sox team that won the World Series most recently. David Price, $217 million contract. Chris Sale, one of the best lefties in the game. Mookie Betts, MVP. Xander Bogaerts, all-star shortstop. They were loaded. Tampa Bay Rays, are they going to win a World Series with that model? Is that going to work? Can it work in Boston? Because I don't think it can. I don't. Rich is in Plymouth. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, guys. Happy to be on. Quick question, and I'll hang up. So, obviously, I don't like that, you know, that cheap model that they do in Tampa Bay, but also clearly the throw cash out the door model they've been using is sustainable. Could they do a hybrid of the two, kind of apply the principles that Haim did in Tampa Bay while also maybe digging a little bit into their pockets and getting, I don't know, like the upgraded version of the players they had in Tampa Bay? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, so look, Rich, I would tell you that that's the ideal scenario, right? That's what you want. I've said this a million times over the years, and I'll always say it. Some teams are big spenders. Some teams are player development operations. The Red Sox should be both. Look at the Dodgers. Look at the Yankees. Not that the Yankees have necessarily excelled always in player development like the way the Dodgers have. The Dodgers have the thing nailed. I mean, they got it working perfectly now. They are pumping out players from their system over and over and over again where they can trade for a guy like Mookie Betts and then sign him to a $400 million contract. So the Dodgers have the thing down. Okay, absolutely. The Red Sox should be the same. They should be able to do both. I'm just worried that they're getting away a little bit from the spending part of it. So ideally, you produce great players, and then you sign them to long-term contracts, and you keep them, and then you let the other ones go. So Xander Bogaerts, good example. You got him on a good contract. Had they been able to sign Mookie Betts, good example. But the Tampa Bay model, the Oakland model, and remember that John Henry tried to hire Billy Beane way back when, failed, offered him the job, and did Beane take it and then back out, Jimmy?
He did. He took it and backed out.
Okay, that's what I thought. I couldn't remember if he got offered it and then didn't accept or he actually took it. So he took the job and backed out, and they ended up with Theo, which was a good thing. The Red Sox landed on their feet on that one. And maybe Bloom is the next Theo. We don't know yet. So the hybrid model, sure, it can work. Most GMs tend to fall on one side or the other. It's hard to find the ones that are perfectly in the middle. So if Bloom becomes the next Andrew Friedman, good. Friedman just signed Betts to that huge deal. That's a good sign. But if he's just going to be the next Billy Beane, and nothing against Billy Beane, he's done a fabulous job out there, but he hasn't won because he hasn't had the money. And if it just comes down to signing a bunch of guys to good contracts and not superstar contracts, I'm not sure that's going to work, and I'm not sure it's going to do what it needs to do here to generate fan interest, which they need to do.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, more hot takes on a short season. It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This 1-0 to Betts is drilled to left center field. Mookie Betts with a leadoff home run. On the second pitch of the game, he drills his 14th of the year.
Mookie Betts, who the league has been trying to jam, was sitting more inside, and he got the barrel to that one easily. That wasn't a pitch that he was going to pull foul at all. He used the middle of the field. Yanked it right out of there.
Not to make it worse for you, Mookie Betts hit another one last night, led off the game with a home run for the Dodgers.
What's that, 14 now?
He's got 14 homers. Major league leaders have 15. I think it's three guys. Trout, Cruz, Nelson Cruz of the Twins, and Fernando Tatis of the Padres all have 15 home runs. Mookie's second at 14, and he is 10th in the majors in OPS. He is having an absolute fabulous year with the Los Angeles Dodgers, who, honestly, I think are going to win the World Series. And I'm hoping they do, because I'll be able to mock them for it, for winning their first World Series in 20 years, 22 years. 88 was the last one, right? That was the Orel Hershiser year. 22 years, the first World Series, and they win it during a pandemic with a 60-game schedule. Not that they're, bad. They're loaded. But that does, there's an asterisk in baseball with a 60-game schedule. I'm sorry. And that's not going to go away. But Mookie has been awesome with the Dodgers. He has been absolutely freaking dynamite with the Dodgers. And so I just want to clear something up about Mookie, which I'll get to in 1 minute. But first, let's go to Ralph and Cranston. Ralph, what do you got?
Yeah, look, quickly with Mookie, I mean, they had to do something. He didn't want to stay. I know what he's doing. He's a great player. But you know what, Maz? For 3 years, I've been saying this. Now this team has to rebuild, and Devers is so important. But once again, he's the worst statistical third baseman in the American League again. I mean, I said before, now, Dalbec's hitting the hell out of the ball right now. He's a much, much better third baseman. I don't know why they don't say, look, what about trying a little bit? You know, Rafael, we hope you stay here for the next 12 years, but maybe first base may be a little bit better for you. He's never going to be even an adequate third baseman. I don't know what your take on it is, Matt. I don't know why they've ever even thought about it. And now that you've got Dalbec, who looks like he's a solid prospect and really mashing the ball, he's a really good, really good defensive third baseman. I don't know why they don't give it a shot.
Okay, so Ralph, look, for a second there, I thought you were going to tell me they should trade Devers. And I was about to say, if you compare Bobby Dalbec's offense to Devers, then don't call the show again. Like, really? Okay, I don't put them even remotely in the same breath. Fortunately, you didn't say that, so I'm blaming you for something you didn't do, as we like to say on the Felger and Matt show. The idea of moving Devers to another position? Absolutely. 100% for it. So now, look, if you were to tell me Dalbec and Chavis, one of those guys sticks, one of them pans out and actually can hit, call it 265 with some power. And yes, I focus on batting average to a degree, because to me, it demonstrates an ability to make contact. Okay, I honestly, if you're telling me you want OPS and you're okay with someone who hits 230 as long as he walks a lot, I'm telling you no. It's not the same. I want a 350 OPS, a 350 on base with a guy who hits 280 versus a guy who hits 220. There's a difference. The 280 guy is going to put the ball in play more, and he's going to have a bigger impact on run production. So that guy, I don't think is going to be a speedster. I don't think he's going to be a burner. So if he's going to hit for power, he's going to hit for some representative average. Now, the idea of moving Devers to first or making Devers the DH, keeping Dalbec at third, if he can play that, if he can hit for a decent average, fine. Fine, I told you. If you tell me that one of the two, Dalbec or Chavis, turns into an everyday big leaguer, I'll take it. One of the two. I have my doubts about both of them, if you want to know the truth. Harry's in Littleton. Get Harry.
Hey, Maz. You talk about the Red Sox being big spenders and teams like Tampa Bay being development machines. I'd argue that the Red Sox have been not terrible at developing position players. You got guys like Bogarts and Betts and Devers and, maybe the jury's still out on Benintendi. But
agreed.
Their pitching development is abysmal. It's the worst. I mean, I don't even know who they've developed as a pitcher. Who's the last guy? Lester or Papelbon? What is wrong with their pitching development?
So, Harry, look, that's a good one, and it's been an age-old problem. The Red Sox have rarely been good at it. Rarely. I mean, up until they developed Roger Clemens, what elite pitcher had they developed? Now, look, they had a little stretch there in the early 80s where they hit on some lefties. John Tudor, Bruce Hurst, Bobby Ojeda, they were all good big league pitchers. And the Red Sox developed all of them. And then Clemens was obviously in the early to mid-80s. But historically, the Red Sox have been bad at it. The Dodgers pump them out like nobody's business. In fact, the Dodgers are the best, I would say, the most pitching-rich organization in the history of baseball. The Dodgers have pumped out pitching like crazy. So now, if you want to tell me that the Red Sox brought Chaim Bloom in to rebuild their pitching, fine. But again, see, I just don't know what Bloom is yet. I just don't know what he is yet. And I need to see how this plays out in the longer term. He's never been a GM anywhere else. So it's hard to gauge exactly what it's going to be. But if he is willing to allow the Red Sox to operate as they always have with the positional players, and then bring in a Tampa model for their pitchers, and they can, you know, start to develop a little bit of pitching there, and then they can go out and buy what they need to buy when they need it, and it's going to be a combination of all the above, well, then I'll tell you that, fine, that's what they were under Theo Epstein. Win. That's a win. That's what I want the Red Sox to be. I want them to be a team that produces its own talent, and then when they have a hole, can go fill it in free agency and can compete for the best talent in free agency. Not just throw money around because they have to, because they don't have a choice. But they can target guys that they want and need. And then if you have to overpay for a guy you want and need, so be it. As long as it's not at every position on the diamond, which is what it was becoming. I mean, really. You know, what Dombrowski did to this organization, he left them in ruin. But at the end of the day, if you're bringing in Dave Dombrowski to strip down your organization as an owner, that one's on you. So there hasn't been much of a plan here for a real long time. I would like to see them get back to where they were under Theo. And I would tell you again, the Theo years weren't perfect. But overall, they drafted and developed. They made some big signings, sometimes to a fault. Carl Crawford was in that group too. But they also traded for Curt Schilling. They signed Keith Volk when that was a big deal at the time. J.D. Drew was a big signing at the time, even if we didn't like it. So they went out and competed for big-name players. Big-time talent. John Lackey was another one, even if Theo didn't necessarily want him. Some of those guys contributed to championships. And at the same time, they had the prospects to trade for Josh Beckett, who helped you win a World Series in 2007. Beckett's postseason that year, maybe one of the best I've ever seen. Not maybe, definitely one of the best I've ever seen. Maybe the single most dominant postseason I've seen. Go back and look at it. He was ridiculous. I saw every pitch of it. He was insanely good. And at that point in his career, Beckett was one of the great postseason pitchers in baseball history. Two World Series in 5 years, and he pitched the closeout game for the Marlins in 2003, and then was a force for the Red Sox in 07. Now, can they get back to that? I don't know, and I don't want it to take forever either. Because they are irrelevant. I talked about this the other day. They're completely non-existent on the sports landscape. They don't exist. So the fact that I don't have a call up on my screen right now should tell you that. Typically, baseball in this town does generate interest. Not like it used to, but it generates interest. Right now, 0.0. So I said something earlier about Mookie Betts that I wanted to clear up. Because this one bugs the crap out of me. And again, it struck a nerve today because in my rant about Bobby Dalbec, I got lots of responses on Twitter, which I expect. It's part of the deal.
A lot of you ran bets out of town?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so now you're going to dump on Dalbec for hitting home runs, even though you dumped on Mookie for not hitting home runs to the opposite field.
Shows people are paying attention, though, man.
Well, yes and no. They're sort of paying attention, but not really, Murray.
Selective listening, I believe.
Correct. Yeah. So selective listening is a better way to put it. So let me clear this up. For those of you who are stupid, for lack of a better word, I never said Mookie Betts sucked. I never said I didn't want him. I said he didn't want to be here and you'd have a choice. Ultimately, you had to trade him. So I've also said I don't think he's the kind of guy in the middle of a lineup that you can build your batting order around because he doesn't hit the ball out to the opposite field. Those are the guys that really scare the life out of you in the postseason because you have no way to pitch them. I never said he sucked. So don't go twisting the argument into something it's not because it's disingenuous and frankly deceitful. So let's not get stupid about it. I would have taken Mookie in a minute here if he was willing to sign for something remotely reasonable. what the Dodgers gave him was off the charts. And by the way, he's still hitting leadoff. It's not like they've plucked him in the middle of the order either. Mookie doesn't like it in the middle of the order. You know why? Because there's pressure there. Jim's in a truck. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, what's going on? Listen, I'm a Red Sox diehard fan, but obviously they're not making it to the playoffs this year. So I tend to favor small market teams. Who should I be rooting for in the playoffs this year? What's your opinion?
Okay, honestly, I want to see a good product. I want Dodgers-Yankees in the World Series. And I typically say root against the Dodgers. The White Sox seem like a fun team, though. Murray, you like them, right?
Yeah, my buddy who works out in Chicago doing sports radio won't shut up about them, and he said that the city's actually abuzz about them. And a lot of it starts with Tim Anderson.
The shortstop.
The shortstop. But who was it? Someone had a no-hitter, too, didn't he? One of the...
Lucas Giolito.
Yeah. So they've been a good story there. And, you know, young, fun team. So maybe there's someone you can sink your teeth into come playoff time.
So I'm all for that. I'll tell you what
San Diego's fun.
Yeah, San Diego is fun. I would love to see the Padres win it. That kid Tatis is terrific to watch. Boy, is he dynamite. I mean, talk about a guy who's built like a young Alex Rodriguez. He's got the same kind of body. Not quite as tall. But go look at A-Rod when he was a kid. He was thin. Right? He was wiry. And Tatis is like that now. He's a fabulous talent. So I'd be okay with one of those. I'll tell you who I don't want to win it. Tampa Bay and Oakland. Because I want to adhere to that belief that you've got to have some superstar talent to win the World Series. You've got to have superstar talent to win the World Series. And if the Red Sox are going to be a boring collection of nobodies built in the image of their general manager or chief baseball officer, whom, with all respect, might be the brightest guy in the world, but boy, is he dull. I don't know that I want a dull team. I don't. I want an exciting team, a team I can talk about. Some of that's the talk show host in me. Some of that's the Red Sox fan in me. But I don't want just nine guys in the lineup with good OPSs who strike out a lot and really aren't sexy or have no sizzle. I don't want that either.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.